This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rain again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and not that to three!
Yes!
Goal!
Yes! Get it!
Hello and welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, the podcast that provides the fans' point of view on all things Northampton Town Football Club. I'm Charles Commons, and I'm here with my fellow Cobblers fans, Danny Brothers, and a big welcome back to Chessy Coleman.
I just waved. That probably says how out of practice I am. I just waved. Sorry. Evening.
Hey, guys. How are you? Are you well? Danny, first of all, are you all right? You good?
Yes, I am. As soon as that full-time whistle went on Saturday, though, my head went straight into derby mode. And so I am incredibly anxious and nervous and all of those emotions going into one before Tuesday. But yeah, other than that, okay.
We will come on to that, I am sure, later on in the pod. Chessy, welcome back.
Thanks.
It's been a little while. I know a couple of people were asking how you were, which is lovely. Lovely. Messages from listeners just sort of saying, oh, not heard from Jeffy in a while. Is everything okay? You've not been well.
I was a you've poorly had an pigeon. Operation. I was a poorly pigeon, but I'm organless and therefore much better now.
Not a vital organ, we will say.
Completely organless.
Definitely not.
Yeah, you're not completely organless either, though. No, you are.
No.
You're back, which is lovely. It's great to have you back, mate. Not going to the Cobblers just yet, though. Still in that recovery mode. Didn't go to the game against Charlton on Saturday, but we did watch it. So we have seen it. We do know all about it, kind of, in our own way as Cobblers fans. Let's get cracking then. Let's talk about it. Cobblers won, Charlton won. Wasn't the most brilliant display from the Cobblers. It certainly wasn't, I would say, up to par to what we've come to expect from John Brady's side over the, well, last couple of seasons, I suppose, but certainly not this season. What do you think caused it, Danny? Because it felt a little bit like we just couldn't get into it. It was almost like we just didn't flick that switch to go game mode, turn it on.
No, a lot of it, I think, was down to Charlton. Probably heap quite a lot of praise on Charlton tonight because they were, just a couple of levels above us from the start. We just looked off the pace of the game, off the pace of their game from the start, especially in the first half. I think up to the sort of 75, 80 minutes that we looked off the pace and it looked like they were on a higher level than us. That's new manager bounce, but it's not just new manager bounce. You know, sometimes you get... new manager bounce for a really bad team that you can see slight differences in, and you can see, you know, they're putting in an effort, but sometimes the quality is still not there, and you can tell that. With this lot, it's like, what the heck was Michael Appleton doing with this side? Because they looked like it's new manager bounce, but it's new manager bounce with good players who have suddenly switched on. And as Charlton fans, you've got to be sat there like, what have we been watching for the last 6 or 7 months? Mm. And how annoyed would you be? A lot of the players as well, because you're like, the players are good players. Surely they've got a little bit to blame themselves, because that what we watched on Saturday was the Cobblers coming up against the playoff type top six side. We've watched us play Oxford a couple of weeks ago on a Tuesday night. I didn't think Oxford were anywhere near what Charlton were in terms of quality and equipped to take us on. And like, Charlton came here and like, they used their pace, they were well organized, they were fighting for all the balls. We looked second to most balls in the first half, just looked completely off the pace. We could have been 2 or 3 down, I thought, for half time. And we just looked, I thought they were a big reason why we looked off the pace, because they came and really set the marker down. They've got some, like, they did us on the break and with pace quite a lot. And we looked like we were second best in that first half. And yeah, a lot of that is mainly down to Charlton. We've got to take some of the blame for that as well. We've got to be better against that kind of team. And I think that's probably where we're lacking, where the next level will be. We've kind of shot up to sort of way above where we expected us to be. But I think now we're starting to see where that next level is reacting to things better and to matching teams like this better, in terms of getting second balls quicker and being switched on for 90 minutes, because we just weren't on Saturday. The weird thing was, in the last 10 minutes, we looked like we could have won it, which would have been daylight robbery.
Yeah.
Which the equaliser was, in a sense, but in terms of robbing the ball. But yeah, I think it was partly down to us, but a lot down to Charlton as well and the way they played.
Do you know, though, I disagree. I don't think Charlton were that much better quality wise than us. I think it was more that, and it what it looked like Nathan Jones has actually done to me is that he's got them all working together really well as a team. I don't think that they weren't at the standard that I would expect a Charlton Athletic team to be at. They weren't, I didn't feel like they were, you know, every attack they were getting a chance and creating something every single time. I felt like they controlled the game very, very well. They certainly controlled the Cobblers very well when they were out of possession, because they just pressed and harried us an awful lot. And I think that is where our kind of downfall came from, was that we just didn't really know what to do because we weren't being given the time or space to really operate and go and, you know, impose our own game onto Charlton. And I, you know,
and we I agree, never do
credit to them
well
for doing that. I just don't, I didn't think that necessarily that, I personally, if that game had finished 0-0, I don't think anyone could have had any complaints, because
I don't know.
Their goal was really the only clear goal scoring opportunity, and I don't think that was even that clear, because it was just horrible defending from us. We had about 4 or 5 opportunities to clear it, and we just didn't for whatever reason. And I was frustrated with our performance because we weren't getting into the game, and I felt like we just needed to essentially put our foot on the ball, slow it down a little bit, because I think one of the things that is a bit of a characteristic of this Cobblers side is that we look to attack at every opportunity. We're always looking at going and attacking and trying to score, which isn't a negative. It's not a bad thing. But at times when we're under pressure, like we were on Saturday, I think the better thing might be to actually put our foot on the ball, have a bit of possession, and just take the sting out of, you know, the opposition, because otherwise you're just allowing them to come back at you constantly, and you're not then getting any of the ball, and you're getting tired because all you're doing is chasing men and chasing the ball. I'm not saying that Charlton weren't the better side on the day. I think they were for the vast majority of it, for probably 80 minutes. But I don't think they're anywhere near the best side that we've come up against. And I certainly didn't feel that they were necessarily anything more than an average looking League One side. The one thing that I want to maybe caveat that with is that I think that Nathan Jones going in there, that's the kind of display that you would expect to have maybe at the start of a season when you're still feeling your way in. You know, new manager, yes, but new season, new group of players playing together, trying to work it out. Let's just do the basics right first and see what happens from that. I didn't really see any free-flowing, expansive play from Charlton that I think we would say that we've seen from the likes of Portsmouth and Bolton and the other much more established League One and higher end clubs. I felt like they were just at the same kind of level of as us, but better than us on the day for the vast majority of the game.
It's possibly as well that they're better at different things than we are as well. Yeah. So it kind of makes that view of the game a little bit swift as well, because they're really good at getting it out to the wings and getting the pace in behind. Like they're beating our fullbacks all the time, but we don't have players like that, do we? And that's just not the way we play. We play it more as a intricate thing. We fight for things, and I don't think we turned it into a fight enough on Saturday. No. I don't think that's the sort of game we've got to really turn into a battle and get into them. And it felt like that we've just come and let them play a little bit, especially in the first half, and that's kind of where we fell down a bit. I thought the formation change and the personnel change helped a little bit in the second half, and it stopped them from playing a little bit. Potentially took away a little bit from our attack as well, though. So it's one of them kind of 50-50 things that, you know, sometimes works, sometimes doesn't.
I think we needed a bit more composure, to be honest. I think Charles is certainly right. Composure is probably the key thing. I think sometimes we are too placid in defense, and they don't stand off players enough. And I think when we do that early on and the players kind of work out that they can almost walk through our defense, and I mean that with the greatest of respects, I know they're working incredibly hard and they're working at a really high level, and you can't fault their commitment, but every now and again we just allow attack to just walk straight through. And that was an occasion on Saturday. When I watched the replay of the game, there were a few occasions in the first few minutes, and I literally said we're allowing them to walk this into the net, and that's what happened in the first few minutes. And I think that probably set the tone for the game. And I think I've said this a few times actually this season, I think for the Cobblers, one of the most crucial things in League One has been when we allow ourselves to get ourselves into a game, and meaning that we stay within the game either at 0-0 or go and score ourselves, because then we allow ourselves to balance out, just compose ourselves through the game, get a little bit of possession under our foot, and then work our way in. And because you're having to then hurry because you've conceded and you're not in the game, you panic and all those second balls don't work. Whereas if we just allow ourselves a little bit more time and composure on the ball, I think we have a better outcome. If I think of many games against higher placing or maybe mid placing teams that we've played, those games that we've allowed ourselves to stay in, we've got results from and actually tend to get really good results from. But if you think of games like the Bristol Rovers game, like the Charlton game, where we've conceded early, we tend to have to try and chase. And by doing that, we lose our composure. I know we got a point on Saturday, but you're right, Danny. It was literally daylight robbery. But there's nothing wrong with that, actually.
I don't know if the point was daylight robbery. I think more the goal
was daylight robbery.
Yeah, that's more what I was thinking. And it would absolutely would have been if we'd have nicked the 3 points at the end. But
yeah,
the interesting thing for me was after the game, was in the post-match interview with John Brady, he had a bit of a conversation with old Petey Walton, who was doing the commentary on Radio Northampton, talking about Mark Leonard and how Charlton had obviously targeted him as being the player in our team, rightfully so, that is going to make things tick for us, and therefore make sure you get stuck into him and make sure that he knows that you're there, kind of thing. And sometimes when I'm watching on iFollow, especially, because you've got the commentary in the background, I wonder whether I'm getting influenced by the commentary in terms of what I'm seeing as it pans out. And one of the things I did keep thinking was that every time, because Tim Oglethorpe, bless him, was really annoyed about the fact, especially when Big Ty got his yellow card towards the end of the first half, on the basis that, you know, Leonard had been fouled maybe 6 or 7 times by that point and had had nothing but a free kick given to him at any point. And then as soon as Ty did something and, you know, just put a leg in or a foot in or whatever it was, he gets pulled up for it and gets given a yellow card. And you do think, you know, to yourself, hang on a minute. Where's the consistency here? Why is it that, you know, Charlton have been allowed to get away with doing this all the way through the first half, and as soon as we try and play them at their own game a little bit in that respect, we're pulled up and we're given a bigger punishment than they've had? And after the game, John Brady and Pete Walton were discussing whether or not Leonard had been protected enough by the referee, i.e. should have somebody have had a yellow card earlier on in the game for a challenge that they'd made on Mark Leonard. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of the actual challenges themselves individually were necessarily worthy of a yellow card, I don't think. But through a totting up process of look what they're doing, and they're basically trying to not mark a player out of the game, and they're not trying to injure him either. They're just trying to stop his flow.
Mm.
And it was working, and it was allowed to just carry on. I'm interested in what your thoughts were on that, as to whether you felt that Leonard had been not protected enough, Chezzy, throughout that, especially the first half.
I don't think he was. I agree. I don't think he was protected enough, but that doesn't surprise me. And it's what I've come to expect from refereeing standards. But what I would say is, I think that's probably taking a little bit away from Charlton, the fact that they were able to do a job on him, because it's not many teams that can. Portsmouth did to a certain degree. I know he scored on the day, but it was academical at the end. But actually, the teams that play well and the teams that organise well, the first thing they're going to notice and the first thing that their manager is going to say is get 2 men on him. Because if you disable him, you disable our midfield. And if you disable our midfield, you disable the whole team. So actually, they did a job on him, and there's nothing you can do about that. The one thing I would say is that I think we need to ensure that we find a way for him to be able to play his way out of that, which he's talented enough to do, absolutely. I don't doubt that. But in terms of what we do around him, because if you look at some of the core members of our squad, they had poor games. You don't really want to kind of pick out individual players, but there were several individuals that had poor shows on Saturday. And actually, that probably is more of an issue in terms of Mark Leonard than Mark Leonard himself being outmarked as such, because if they're playing to his strengths and they're able to connect up with him in midfield well, then maybe he doesn't get marked out so well. Because actually, if McWilliams and Brough potentially are having really good games, then someone else has got to be on McWilliams as well, because he's everywhere. But he wasn't. So
if you create
more problems in midfield, those players have got to mark all of them. But because there were weaknesses within our midfield, they only had to worry about Leonard.
Yeah. I don't know whether you thought this, Danny, but I felt like it was a case of that we needed Sean McWilliams or, you know, somebody else just to step up and realise as well, as a whole team, I think, collectively, that Leonard is basically being, you know, 2 to 3 man marking him at a time. Well, that must mean that there's space elsewhere. And absolutely, we just didn't ever look for it or find it. Now, maybe that is a hangover of the fact that we always look to Leonard first. But games like that are surely the point where actually you need to acknowledge the fact that that isn't on as a pass or isn't getting us anywhere, and that there are going to be gaps elsewhere. And that's down to obviously the players that play the passes in, but it also is down to the rest of the midfield and attack to find those spaces, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And we came up against Leighton Orient a couple of weeks ago, and that's exactly what they're good at. Is you wouldn't say Leighton Orient have a out and out danger man. I'd say, from the limited time I've watched them. But it's when one person's getting challenged, there's other people buzzing around. They interchange so well, and they've got plans for when something happens to one player or the ball gets loose. It's so fluid, and it feels like at the moment we're not quite there against the better teams, which I'm going to, you know, it feels odd to put Charlton as a better team now, but I think based on what we've seen on Saturday, they are. Against better teams, we're just not coping with it very well, which is, I think, fair enough as well. Like, let's be realistic about it. We're still 11th, 12th in League One. It's going to happen. This sort of thing's going to happen. We've got a draw out of it. So, you know, happy days.
Yeah.
But it's just learning curves, isn't it, really, for a lot of it? Learning curves for everybody, that this is what it's going to take to get to next level, as in top 10, which, you know, what a conversation do we have in at this stage of the season?
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's a great conversation to be having. Who thought we'd be doing this at this point? Obviously, the goal gets scored. Brilliant work from Sam to chase down the goalkeeper. Some suggestions that it might have even been a penalty on him. I think it was. The referee apparently does look like he's about to give a penalty if Appare hasn't put it into the back of the net, but of course he does, which is a nice, easy finish for him. I particularly enjoyed the fact that Tim Oglethorpe asked him in the post-match or said something to the effect of, I've seen people miss, that, you know, you've seen them be missed before, he said, and Appare just sort of went, nah, I wouldn't miss.
I mean, this is exactly the type of thing I was talking about a couple of weeks ago. You know, when me and Neil played double it or bottle it? This is what I meant when I said, if the ball falls to a player there and there's an open goal, I'm not going to have any sympathy now if they miss. Like, they've got to score. If me and Neil have scored from that distance with no keeper, with a small gap to aim
absolutely.
At, there is no chance that a professional should be missing. So I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah, no, you're right.
player of the match.
Me too.
Player of the match style finish as well, apparently.
Apparently so. That screams to me, right? And it screamed to me of, the sponsors have got no idea who to award the player of the match to. And essentially, Tom Cliff, who goes and asks, who are you going to give the player of the match to, has basically just gone, well, I mean, the easy option is to give it to the goal scorer because he scored a goal. And they've just kind of gone, yeah, okay, that'll do. That's fine. And I'm not blaming Tom there for giving out man of the match award to somebody that doesn't deserve it. He scored a goal. And I think, considering how the rest of the game kind of went, I don't really know who else you would give it to. A few people would say, oh, Guthrie, but then I don't think he was necessarily any better than anybody else as such. He didn't stand out to me as being the best player on the pitch, because they were all just collectively had an off day, I felt. And I mean, at the end of the day, there was no clean sheet. So I would argue that, give it to the person that scores the goal, or you could give it to Sam for creating the goal. I just thought, fair enough. What I'm saying is that I don't know who I would have given it to, and probably would have had the same kind of reaction of just gone, well, Appare scored. Okay, granted, he should never miss that, but he's technically done more than anybody else on the pitch today by scoring. Mm. And, you know, that, because the bar is quite low throughout, if that makes sense. If Louis's listening, I'm not saying you're bad or anything like that. I love you, but
he's a good boy.
You need that shovel there, Charles. We've got plenty down
here. Yeah, it felt like I needed a shovel, didn't it, to be honest? No, I that's how it felt.
I probably would have given it to Guthers, but I do want to shout out Louis Molden as well, because I thought he had a decent game. He's handling crosses and things like that, it's making me a bit more assured. He made a really good save, I think, just before it equalised as well. He's starting to grow into the role a bit more as well. And I just don't like the nervousness of a lot of people around it, because he's a young keeper, he's going to make mistakes. And I feel like he's got that. People are still not trusting of him. Near post again, though, Danny. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm
just saying that is the argument that a lot of people are having.
I don't think that stands.
He's getting beaten at his near post. The Oxford game, beaten at his near post. Saturday, beaten at his near post. I think there's at least another one.
I don't think we can give that on the basis that, one, it was deflected, but two, also, the player steamrolled through five players. So one of the five needed to stop him first. Wow. Is my view.
It was like it's like Gauntlet in Gladiators. There is no point to that game. They just literally just always charge through and get to the end.
Yeah.
Sometimes what I defending was
brilliant.
Like. But yeah, I mean, fair enough. It was hard to choose a man of the match, but I'm not sure which. I don't know, because last time they gave it to Hundemark when it was Hundemark's sponsor as well, didn't they?
Yeah,
the last time
that was just classic. I enjoy that. More of that.
Come on,
that should come happen on. More.
Or somebody just go and have a really good game. So we've got no question about it.
Let's take a break. We'll be back talking more about the Charlton game after these messages.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. Yes, we were talking about the Charlton game before the break. A couple bits just to tie up, and we'll get some three-word reviews in a moment as well from you. After we'd scored, ridiculously, it looked like that we were the side that could go on and win the game. It was almost like we woke up, wasn't it? It was a bit strange how that happens. But I actually was having a conversation with my dad about this afterwards, and we realized that actually a lot of the time it takes a goal almost for us to suddenly realize that we're better than both we have been playing but than the opposition that we're playing against as well. At times I think Burton last week was maybe a prime example of that. You know, score the opener and then go on to basically control the rest of the game and get the second as well and be fairly comfortable for the second half. It must be really frustrating for John Brady in a way, looking at that. And he must be thinking to himself, if we can score, you know, early, maybe not as early as Charlton did, but, you know, within the first 20 minutes of a game, then that's the point where he'll probably be settling down and feeling a little bit more happy about everything, because he knows that actually the confidence will be there. We've already scored one. We can go on and get another one. On Saturday, it just seemed like, you know, Pinnock had a shot. Was that, I can't remember if it was saved or if it hit the bar.
No, it hit the side netting.
Hit the side netting.
Yeah. Pinnock, yeah.
And then Sowers had a lovely effort towards the end as well, that could have made it 2-1 if it was on target. I mean, the goalkeeper might have had it covered in fairness, but lovely rasper from outside the box, wasn't it, Danny?
Great word.
Love, it was lovely.
Love
Jack that we Savvy have just fought and you thought, is this one this season? It's going to unleash. It would have been hilarious if that got in as well.
Oh, absolutely hilarious. I mean, this was the thing, right? Was that I was sat there. We've talked about this, haven't we, about how we can just sort of maybe enjoy the games a bit more now, and how we should maybe have just been enjoying the games throughout the season and not being, heaping so much pressure maybe on ourselves, you know, as fans, and, you know, and allowing ourselves to get worked up too much and stuff. And I kind of sat there and went, fairly early on, went, this isn't our day. This has one of those days written all over it. It's just not going to happen for us. And then when we did score, I mean, don't get me wrong, I gave a little, you know, fist bump and a clap from my living room. But at the same time, I just burst out laughing because of how funny the goal was. for them to have conceded, not necessarily for us to have scored. And then went on to see us go try and get the winner. And I thought, if we get this, this is going to be the jammiest win ever in the world, and it will be hilarious.
It's one of those interesting things that we've developed within the squad this year, though, in that we score a lot of late goals, but what we do also very well is we score, I don't like to use the word unjust, but I'm going to have to use it, a lot of unjust equalizers or winners, if that makes sense. So like sometimes we will just rob teams of a result. Other times it will be that we have played them off the park and we just happen to have been 2-0 down at the beginning, whatever. But there's a lot of goals and a lot of points. I'd love to work, stat people out there, stat man Danny, you'll do. So can someone needs to work out how many points we've got from being like way off the mark, because there's so many. And I think it's more about there's clearly application and attitude to it, definitely, in terms of Brady and his management. But I do also think that there's this confidence that's not arrogance, but it's this confidence of, right, well, you're going to score, we're going to score another one, or you're going to score, we'll come back. And it's very reminiscent of the Wilder years where, you know, teams will score four, but we'll score five. It's not on that kind of level. We're not scoring huge amounts of goals, but it's like we've got this complete confidence within ourselves that we will get a goal. And if you track all the way back to really early days, like down at Exeter or at Cheltenham, where we were in games, but we needed to seal them, and we would just fly down the other end and get a goal. But we would also not change the philosophy in how we were playing. So if I think back to that Cheltenham one, we were going crackers in the away end, because it was this, we were just, someone needed to have a shot and no one would. But it's like this complete confidence and belief in the fact that, like, yeah, well, we're going to score, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, we got time. Even if it's 89 minutes, we've got time. We're going to do this. And I like that. It's annoying and it's frustrating in the ground, but I like it because they clearly, the mental capacity that they've got during games is huge, because they don't switch off. And we score a lot of late goals, and there's so many I can think of that, not that we don't deserve, but games where we haven't been in it at all for 80 minutes and we've got something, or we haven't been in it for the last 20 minutes of it and we've still got something. And they're really, really vital.
I don't think we've come from behind to win yet this season, from what, I mean, I'm saying that based on something that was said in commentary on Saturday.
I think you're right. I think it's been a while.
Yeah, but having said that, look at Oxford. You know, obviously we get pegged back and then we go again and we score again. I mean, I suppose the Leighton Orient and the Charlton away games, you know, both of those, I know they came out with different results in the end, but, you know, it's exactly what you've just said, you know, just having confidence in the way that we play and how we will be effective. We don't drift from that. There's no never. We've talked about it before, haven't we? We don't get into the last 10 minutes and then just start lumping it into the box, hoping for something to happen. We stick to the game plan and we keep trying to play our way and we keep going that way. And I guess that's basically what happened on Saturday, was that the goal kind of gave us that little bit of belief, but also must have given Charlton a bit of a, oh no, because of how bad their season has been. You know, their heads probably did go down a little bit. They probably did think, oh, we shouldn't, because they shouldn't be letting us back in the game. Certainly not in the manner that they did.
They should have been 3-0 up, really, realistically.
So, I mean, I just think to myself that, you know, maybe there's an element of that. There's an element of, you know, Charlton heads go down, our tails go up, and that's what happens. I mean, Charlton still had a chance, I think, didn't they, in that, you know, to win it themselves at some point. So it wasn't all ours for the last 10 minutes or anything like that. But
it definitely knocked them, though, didn't it? You could definitely kind of tell that was a team that had been struggling a little bit with mental side of things. Maybe, and I think if it goes on another 5 or 10 minutes, we might be able to nick it, just simply because they've been in this mode for 6 or 7 months of, if we're one down, that's it. you know, we can't get back into games, and suddenly a team's equalizer against the run of play, you drop, your levels drop, and you think, oh, you know, it's not, what's going on? And suddenly with that, I think that's what let us in a little bit, is the fact that they dropped off a bit. So yeah, it would have been interesting next for 5 minutes or so.
Yeah. Okay, let's get some three-word reviews then. Plenty yes. coming in this
can
time.
Can we do a little apology first, Charles?
If you want to apologize, you go for it.
I think it was my fault. So it's a public apology to Mr. Rob Duncan, because he got in touch after last week, after we gave, or I gave, Liz the three-word review of the week, when in fact Liz stole it from Rob. Rob says, Liz getting three-word review of the week, not happy with that, especially as she pinched it from me a couple of weeks ago, but it never got read out. So apologies to Rob. Liz, you're now banned from three-word reviews until next week. A one-week ban.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, harsh. My.
You can't go stealing three-word reviews, Charles.
I can't believe that you're just taking Rob Duncan's word for it. I'll be honest with you.
He's a trustworthy man.
Well,
he wouldn't lie to us.
Maybe not. Well, okay. Liz, I'm so sorry. That has nothing to do with me. I want to make that abundantly clear.
So, Liz, if you do want to appeal, just get in touch. We can sort out an appeal process. But it has got the risk of extending the ban to 2 weeks. So it depends if you want to risk it or not, really.
Liz, I wouldn't bother. You're a Cobblers fan. It will just get increased to a further 4 weeks or something ridiculous. Rodney Marshall said, a Brucey bonus. it certainly was. Patrick Payne, points make prizes. Tom, out of nothing. Shoe Army USA said, more focus needed. Steve Scott, great point earned. 1 point gain, said Phil Kirby. MK Cobbler, scoreboard fared better. The Autumn Cobbler said, lucky tan. Chris Smith, very fortunate indeed. Paul E. said, Charlton, false position.
Yeah, agree with that.
Carl Scott said, take the point. Rob Duncan, I'm not reading it out, Rob, in solidarity with your wife. Gavin Foster, gifted a point. Matt Bay said, cuddly Tyree Simpson.
Well, that would be amazing.
Danny would love a cuddle with Big Ty, I'm telling you.
End of season awards. Graham
Treadwell said, out of jail. Yes, end result fair. Lovely little point, said Bilsey. Hornet Cobbler said, lucky to draw. There were a few that are about being lucky. Mark Josiah said, undeserved point. Cheers. I enjoyed that one. Cold but satisfied, said Katrina. Buchero, gifted a point. Samo 1982 Thomas on Twitter said, train home easier, and he just gave the context of the fact that he lives a couple of miles away from the valley, so he'll have been traveling home if he was on the train with a lot of Charlton fans, so that would have made it nice and easy for him. Another point gained, says N Coombs. Lee Wade, disappointingly disjointed display.
Oh, enjoy that.
I love a bit of alliteration.
Love alliteration. That's amazing. Very good.
That can have three-word review of the week, Charles.
Yay. There
you go. I mean, it does feel like the three-word review of the week now becomes a poison chalice. Lee will be banned next week for doing something else.
No, if you didn't steal it, you won't.
Aidan says, result disguises performance. Tom Bastin said, must do better. Mid-table safety, says Lee Mackey. Nicked a point, said Naveed. Phil Cassidy said, rattle Charlton TV. Danny, have you got the Facebook ones?
I have, yes. Rob Duncan says, took the gift. Stephen Tomlin says, F the posh. Yes. Richard Milner, point gained. Elaine Mundy, Clarence, very entertaining. Mark really lackluster today in it. Oh.
I'm not having that. Nah.
Why not?
In it's not even a word.
In it.
In it.
In it would be all right, because, you know, that would be Somerset.
Well, isn't that an alternative version of that, though?
Yeah.
No, it's the proper version.
In it.
Oh,
can't
dear.
Be having fake versions.
Now. Come on now. Let's not get into you know, regionalized divisions.
Well, this is true. I'm slightly outnumbered here as well, so I shall.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Tractor land outnumbered.
Nick Masters says, fell asleep listening. I think that was to the game, not the podcast, I hope, anyway.
Well, I hope not. No, yeah.
David Haynes says, I'll take that. Andy Spear says, point will do. I've got loads on Facebook, actually, this week. Richard Tipler, lucky to draw. Mark Starkey, just feel deflated.
Oh.
Alan Ringrose, stroke of luck. Stuart White needed some luck. Kathy Howard salvaged the point. Tony James, we didn't lose. Mark Bailey, what a worldie. Barry Collins, load of crap, he says.
Yeah.
Basil. Yeah. Tim Hankins, Charlton were robbed. Peter Williams, damn good result. Mark Church got slightly lucky. Daniel Morgan, it was freezing. It was cold. It was really cold. Adam Hazeltine, no yellow ref, question mark. Gareth Kingston, our old good friend Gareth, smash and grab. Joshua Walton Taylor says, Leonard the Gladiator.
Liz, I'm loving Adams the Gladiator references. They are beautiful.
Liz Adams says, what was that? Matt Bourne says, Louis effing Apparay. Not a pair. ITV highlights. Crying out loud. They've lost me this week. They've called Louis Appair, and they've called MK against Wimbledon a derby. I mean, shocking. If I wasn't gone already, then I'm definitely gone now.
Lovely. Okay.
That's it.
And the final one, going back to Twitter, yes. As always, it's from Chris, who says, 12th stays up.
Yay.
Come on.
Lovely stuff. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you for your three-word reviews. We post on social media after every single game asking for it, and you truly delivered this week. So thank you very, very much for all of those. Right, we'll take another break, and when we'll come back, we've got some questions and thoughts from you, dear listener. Be back straight after this. Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. Let's dip into this week's postbag then.
To the post, to the post. Get your comments and thoughts to the post. We're ready and willing to read out your scribbling. So get them all into the post, to the post, to the post. Get your comments and thoughts to the post. Put pen to the paper. Do it sooner, not later. And get it all into the post. Get it in.
Neil's not here. So Danny, it's in your hands this week. Yes. We've got a few. We're gonna try and get through as many of them as we can. Some lovely ones in here as well, Danny. What have you got for us?
Matthew Crane has been in touch, saying, "Dear Neil, after
Sphinx,
last week's chat about
I think we named him, didn't we?
Yes, Sphinx. Yes, Sphinx. Dear Neil, after last." After last week's chat about the all-time best 11 and the upcoming returning legends match, who are the top 10 Cobblers legends?
Oh, Ashley Corker, not... Mickey Warner, who else?
I don't think it's Petey Walton.
it's difficult though, isn't it? Because obviously
it is.
When we did our team, was it last week or the week before? We gave our team, you know, 11. And, you know, the issue is that as Cobblers fans, and as I'm sure, you know, you listening, you may well come from a different generation to us.
Therefore,
you might have a whole load of other players that we never got to see. I mean, even here on the pod today, you know, me and Danny remember the Ian Atkins era fantastically, whereas Chezza, you would have got maybe the very back end of it.
Yep, that was my first game. The loss to Grimsby was my first game, so contextually, you know, I was tiny as well. I barely really remember it.
Yeah, so it's really, really difficult, isn't it, to say who's, because we can give who we think would be a legend, but then other people will disagree. But I mean, you know, that's football.
Exactly,
we welcome that. That's absolutely, you know, there's no right or wrong answer with it. I mean, if we were going to put legendary status to a few, and I completely agree, Neil says this, is that every time that they unveil a new legend for this Legends match, Neil says that they're really, really stretching this term legend, aren't they, with some of these that are coming out and being named. But, you know, I get the
point. You've got to fill the squad at this point, haven't you? You've got to dip in a little bit. Because
yes,
their legs aren't going to be there, and I'm assuming it's going to be rolling subs. It's not, you can't just have 11v11 because they won't survive it.
You could maybe do it for 10 minutes each way, and that'd be it. A game over. Thank you. Goodbye.
I think we should do it. If we were to do it, we could do it in eras, and that would be really fun. So do it in eras. So you had 60s to 90s, and then 90s through to the early 1000s, then early 2000s up.
I'm just thinking, I was in with the 60s, enjoyed that.
I'm just thinking, because for example, Sean, I said Leonard's the best player I've ever seen in a cobbler shirt, and he immediately goes, no, he's not for me. And that's not because he's not very good, that's just because Sean saw a completely different generation right back through to the 60s.
Yeah,
well, he would have seen a top level team, wouldn't he? So,
yeah, like exactly.
Division one side. It's a very difficult thing to do.
It's very difficult.
Melly has been in touch again from the other side of the world. Melly says, good day, Neil. He says, with notable exceptions, generally speaking, players come with three issues at our level. In the event they don't have any, they don't seem to last long. Not good enough, injury prone, and disruptive / problematic / lazy attitude. In order of acceptability, which baggage would you prefer any signing came with? So that's not good enough, injury prone or disruptive / problematic lazy attitude.
Well, the last question. One, disruptive lazy attitude, would be at the bottom for me.
Yeah.
That has to be a no-go, basically.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And I think we're at a point now where that is at the bottom of everybody's list,
yes,
including the management, absolutely, which hasn't been said in the past.
No. I mean, it's hard, isn't it? Notable exception. Generally speaking, players come with three issues at our level. Not good enough, injury prone. I don't think that that's necessarily fair. At our level, players... maybe Melly means at our level as a club in terms of what our finances are like and what budget we have.
Yeah, and I think he's saying they come with one of those issues, I think, is the idea. Not all of them, or like not a general rule, because obviously some players are good enough, but if they're good enough, they come with injuries or a disruptive attitude. Or if they've come with a disruptive attitude, they are good enough. I think that's what he's trying to say.
I think that the injury prone one is quite ironic, because you know, we've had some fun with that recently. However, I would say that generally, the philosophy of the football club these days is certainly to get almost a diamond in the rough. Look at Tyrese. You know, he was woeful 3 months ago, and is a totally different player now. And you can change not good enough. You can change.
You can coach them.
You can change that. You can change the outcome. Yes, arguably you can change the attitude one, but it's slightly more ingrained, I think. I think if you look back to some of our more characterful players, I don't think we gain much from them. And I think when you're trying to solve that kind of issue, what the problem you've got is the impact of those around you. If you've got a real trier that's just not getting it right, then you can make a difference with them and the players around them. But if you've got a bad apple, they infect.
Do you know, though, that you're actually right, because I was actually at first leaning towards the injury-prone side of things, because, again, you can kind of mitigate that with certain things. I mean, granted, people will be shouting right now, well, we're not very good at doing that. But, you know, if you tailor the training and the workload to the player, then there's a possibility that you can get around it and you can reduce the amount of injuries that a player might have. And, you know, what Melly's saying there is that they might be good. They probably are good enough. It's just that they don't get through an entire season without picking up several injuries, which is obviously a great difficulty to have. But I mean, yeah, I think you're probably right, Jeffy. I think that's what would be top of the list, is that you say to yourself, right, we can take a player and we can make them better. And John Brady and his coaching staff have done that with several players. Granted, not every single one, you know, not every single signing that you ever make will always work out. But, you know, here we are looking at, you know, players and you're thinking to yourself, well, they are better than potentially they were when they first came. And that therefore that's where you kind of stick your neck out. You sort of say, okay, this player on paper probably isn't up to the standard of what we would love to be able to bring into the club, but let's bring him in because they're the best of what we can either afford or what we can get, whatever it is, and we'll make them a better player and we'll improve.
I think our journey with loan players over the last 18 months, 2 years has reflected that. If you look at what we now have as a reputation as a football club in terms of loan players, you look at the quality that we have produced, albeit they've got parent clubs and we can't obviously take credit for their long-term journey, but it's certainly in their short term, you look at Bowie and Leonard, but also you look at the young goalkeepers we've got and had. And you look at Max Thompson, for example, who, yes, okay, there was some people that were dubious about his inclusion in the squad, but it was a needs must at the time. But if you look at the player that came to us from Newcastle and the player that left to go back to Newcastle and the evolution of that player, and you look at the evolution that we'll find when we very sadly say goodbye to Leonard in the summer and Bowie arguably as well, and you look at how different they are, and that's not because necessarily, particularly with Leonard, they were poor players at the beginning, but their actual footballing journey is completely different as a result of what our coaches have been able to do with them. And I'd argue actually for Max Thompson, it probably has furthered his career far more quickly, which may be a bad or a good thing. Time will tell. But it's furthered his career just by simply having to play. That's furthered his career, without a doubt.
MK Cobbler says, who do we keep out of the out-of-contract players? The ones we want to keep, ooh, do we think we have a realistic chance of keeping? We've got the list here, I think, of out-of-contract. Should we just go through them and say yes or no, whether we keep them?
Yeah. Start from there? Yeah.
So, yeah. Lee Budge.
No.
What are we doing?
Ooh. Unsure.
Yeah, injury stuff has crept up on him, hasn't it, a bit this season? Sam Schering, I think we probably all agreed on keep.
Keep.
If we can, yeah. Ben Fox is an interesting one.
Unsure.
Yeah, I agree with that, Charles.
I think he's becoming a decent squad player now, isn't he? He's definitely kicked on the last two or three games. So it's definitely one of the not sures because can he do it consistently? But to me,
that's my issue, is that because of his injury, and granted, we didn't know until he's come back what had happened with him, and the misdiagnosis and stuff is what has led to him being out for so long. Not seen enough of him, basically, to know. And I don't think I also don't think it's fair. That's going to be a very difficult decision, I think.
For definitely.
Football club.
Yeah. The lab.
I would keep, however, I would want to also get an improvement. So I think he would be good as a backup, is what I'm thinking for next season. So I would offer a contract, but it would be, you know, on Football Manager, when you offer a contract, you tell them what sort of role they will play in the squad, and they will either be like a key player, a first team pick, backup, whatever it would be. I would give him the proviso of you're going to be a backup in my initial thinking.
And that might mean that he then wants to look elsewhere where it was going to be first choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Potentially. Danny Hilton.
Bye.
No. See ya. Yeah.
Bye, Danny. Jordan Willis.
Keep.
Yes, I think he's brilliant.
Good player, isn't he?
I think the fact that
he can only get better as well.
Exactly. Can only get better. The fact that he can play both at centre-back or right-back, that utility, versatility really goes in his favour, and I do think he's a very good player.
He's very good for the squad as well, I think, Charles. Sorry, I interrupted, Charles. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I think he's very good for the squad. There's experience there. There's self-assurance, confidence, but the ability to bring on those young kids. You think of if we were to talk about Max Dyche, which I'm sure we will coming through, people like Max Dyche will thrive with someone like Jordan Willis in that defence with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, I'm going to skip the next one just till the end. Akin Odimeo, I think I'd keep.
Yeah, I'd keep.
Yeah.
He's done good to my money. Ryan Haynes.
No, bye-bye.
No.
No. Sadly for Ryan, it's not happening, is it? Liam Moore. Not seeing enough of him. Really.
I can't.
We can't. I don't think that's fair. Yeah, I don't think that's fair.
What's he played? 10 minutes?
Yeah. Peter Abimbola. Again, not seen a lot of him, but...
I would say
doesn't
unsure.
Doesn't seem like he's in the plans.
No,
I think
it
if
doesn't.
He was in the plans, he would have been played by now, wouldn't he, instead of signing other certain fiddles.
Yeah. I think that's one of those where you can't really judge it as a fan because you're not there watching training. You don't know, you know, how good or what his potential is. And yeah, it, unfortunate for him, I think, that we got promoted basically to League One. I think he would have had more of a chance if we were still in League Two. But I don't think we will keep him.
I thought it was great in preseason. He had a really good preseason, didn't he? And against Leicester, he played well. He scored that goal at MK, didn't he? And I had high hopes it might be a season, but it seems like it's not been. And Dominic Gape. I don't know where he's gone. He's just disappeared.
No. Yeah, I wonder whether he had a bit of a... I know they said, didn't they, last week they were managing his minutes, or maybe it was the midweek fixture last time out that we had one. He didn't play any... We said that... His minutes were being managed. I wonder partly whether essentially we've played so well, so therefore, you know, he's just been the unlucky one.
I'd agree with that, actually, Charles. Yeah.
Or the other alternative is that he's picked up a niggle and that therefore he can't play because there's an injury. Based on the performances that I saw, I was like, yeah, I'd keep him. But if he's, you know, not better than what we've got, then you'd probably expect him to just go at the end of his contract.
And last one is Sean McWilliams, who is it's so frustrating, right? McWilliams. Yeah. It's one of the most frustrating players I've seen play for us because he's got all the potential and all of the tools to make it as a really good player and as a out-and-out Cobblers legend, no sort of second thinking about it. But again on Saturday, I just thought he flitted in and out too much. He was getting wound up. There's one moment where the ball's back in play and it's going over his head and he's turning around having to go at Paddy B for something. It was a bad pass or something, but you've got to switch on. And again in games like Saturday, you expect him to step up and you expect him to be dominating the midfield and to really show in his strength, but I don't know what it is about him that's just so frustrating. I'm like, I feel like he could be so much better, and I just never know what it is. I think if he was going to be sort of championship level, he would be by now. And I don't know what that needs from him to get that each and every week, because you get those performances where he's dominant and he's the best player on the pitch by a mile, and then you get performances that are completely the opposite, and he's just not involved and he's not showing what we know he can, and it's so frustrating. So I don't know what to do with him.
I think will happen. I think we will offer him a new contract and then he will get a contract offer from elsewhere, possibly top end of the League Two, or one of the sides that maybe gets promoted this season from League Two, and he will choose to move on. I think I wonder whether he feels that he's been here too long. For him would actually be, and I'm only thinking for him as a human being, as an individual, I know what it's like when you're at work and you're at the same place for years and years and years. After a while, it can become a bit like you just need something fresh. That's nothing against the club or the workplace that you're at. It's just a fact of life is that some people, in order for them to kick on, need to go elsewhere and need to go and have a different environment, work with different people and see what happens. I would be a little bit, I'm upset that if he does leave, then he leaves for free because of the fact that he has come through our youth team. He's essentially, you know, look at what Chelsea have been doing, right? They've basically seen all of their players' academy prospects as free money. They're all profit, aren't they, for them? Because they've not had to buy them in the first place. So therefore, how much did it cost for that player to be brought in? Peanuts. And then we go and sell them for a couple of million quid to a championship club or wherever. We've made a complete, you know, £2 million or whatever it is profit on that player without having to do much. It annoys me, or it would upset me, that we've not been able to do that with Sean McWilliams. However, having said that, part of that is down to the fact that he's probably not been in demand by any other club willing to pay a transfer fee when he's in contract to take him. Because the only way, realistically, these days in Leagues 2 and League 1, that a player moves on for money, it's because a better side wants them and is prepared to pay for them, rather than waiting for, you know, when players move on at the end of the season, they go to either the same sort of standard of team or below. It's because essentially that's who will have them. It's not, you know, there's not necessarily a bidding war for them. And that's essentially what you were saying, Danny, is that that championship potential that all Cobblers fans think that he have just hasn't been realised. And the proof of that is that we're not batting championship clubs off and saying, no, you can't have him unless you pay us this much money. So it's frustrating is the word, mate, I think.
Yeah, from, it is. From but all the, of us. The thing is as well, you come out of Saturday really annoyed with him and really frustrated. And like, he could be doing so much better. Tuesday night is the first name you want on the team sheet, isn't he?
Yeah,
it's like, is. You know, that's the type of game that he's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully anyway, he's going to be the one of the sort of key people you want in there. You can't envisage a Cobblers team going to London Road without him, because it feels like he'll know, he's one that would know exactly what it means on that pitch, and hopefully he'll, you know, put in a really good shift. It's just doing it 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row that seems to be not where he's at the minute. But yeah,
his value will anyway. His value will decrease through injury as well as what we've got. You know, if he did go for money, which looks unlikely, like Charles says, you know, that value is so much lower because he spent arguably the last 3 years, arguably most of it, on the physio bench, really.
Last question. Should we move on to the last one? Cobbler Toad on Twitter says, do we care about the NEN Derby a lot more than Posh fans, or does it depend on your age?
Ooh.
I don't care. I know how much I care about it. I know how much Danny cares about it. I know how much Chezzy cares about it. I know how much every single Cobblers fan cares about it. That's all that matters. I couldn't give two hoots if they don't care. I really couldn't. And at the end of the day,
Alan Swan definitely cares about it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, see, this is the thing, right? Is that I've seen on Twitter, like Danny, you said, thoughts and feelings have turned to Tuesday immediately after the full-time whistle on Saturday. I actually wonder whether thoughts from the players turned towards Tuesday about Wednesday last week. Yeah, on Saturday, to be honest. But I, there are loads of Posh fans out there on Twitter and other social media basically trying to say that they don't care about it, that Cambridge are their real derby, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, because they just beat them. It's all easy, isn't it?
They wouldn't be saying that kind of crap.
It's very easy to say after you've just beaten Cambridge and you lost to us early in the season as well, isn't it? Yeah. It's very easy to say that about a derby. I'm sure they do. But like you say, just I've got too much to think about myself to care about what they think and whether they care about it or not. Like, all we care about is Mitch Pinnock sticking one in the net from about 50 yards out, and it's given us one of the best moments of our lives. And like, we're not thinking I really hope the Posh fans are feeling shitty right now. I'm thinking I'm bloody loving it. But I don't care what Posh fans are thinking. I'm just thinking, can we go and do more heroics on Tuesday night? And
that's all I want. That's all I want. It's... Oh, the tension is getting to me already. I can feel it. Do you know, I think back to when was the last time? Was it the COVID year? Would that have been the last
time we went there?
Derby?
Yeah.
And I remember being like really, really up for it, and then it was very like
such a damp squib. Was it like 4-1 or something, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, it was horrible. And I was just like, I resigned. No, that's not the word I'm looking for. I resolved to not allow myself to get that worked up about it again in public. I will do it in the privacy where nobody else can then take my words and laugh at me that I've said pre-match, kind of thing. Because it hurts when you lose to them. Don't get me wrong. You know, you're not happy whenever the Cobblers lose, but it hurts so much to lose to that blue lot. And to then have it rubbed in your face afterwards, you know, people taking, say, tweets from what you've said before the game about, because you're so up for it and you're like, yeah, we're going to get them, we're going to have them. And then you lose 4-0. And then, you know, posh fans quote tweet you or whatever it is and rub it back in your face. And it hurts. It really hurts. So I'm like, not going to do it in public. I'm up for it. We as a podcast are well up for it. I hope the team are up for it. Please, God, be up for it. Yeah. I'm sure they will be. I don't care whether the posh fans, you know, feel the same or not. What matters is that we as Cobblers fans and the 1,427 or whatever it is that are being allowed by Darren McAntony to go to that game, every single one of them will care passionately about what happens on the pitch. Yeah. And it's going to be one of those. I am so upset that the original game got postponed from being a Saturday to being a Tuesday night, because if it had been that Saturday, I'd have been there with bells on.
Yeah. 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 You just want to come away with it. like we know that they're a better team, right? In terms of the players they've got, the budget they've got, everything like that. But we want to be coming away from there having given every ounce of ourselves, like literally leave everything for the rest of the season out on that pitch on Tuesday night. And we can do no more. Like, we can come away proud and happy and, you know, whatever happens, happens. Like, we lost 1-0 there once, and, you know, we were down the bottom there, we're near the top, and we put in a reasonable performance there. You still come out, yeah, pissed off and sad and down that you've lost to them, but you can still come away with it with a little bit of pride. That game in COVID was horrendous because we just had nothing of that at all. And if we know what we're capable of. We know, like, their pitch is horrendous at the minute, so we might stop their flow a little bit. We might be able to turn into a bit of a scrap. This is the type of game for Kieran Bowie. This is the type of game for a Ty. This is the type of game for a full-on Sean McWilliams and a Mark Leonard who shit-owls in and all of that kind of thing. Just,
get into them.
The thing is, like, the excitement and nervousness of the what-ifs, isn't it? It's the what-if it happens again. Like, that was the same in the home game. It's like, your head's thinking, you know, what the result could be, anything. But the feeling that we could have on Tuesday night is getting me the nervous excitement of what if that happens again and we get that feeling twice in the season. Yeah, I'm excited, but I hate it. I hate the derby. Like, literally, if we take a point on Tuesday, I don't care if they go up, because, you know, we've had them for a few years.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be it, wouldn't it? Yes. Yeah.
Get on out. Oh dear. We might try and do a midweek review on Wednesday at some point, Charles.
We will. We'll do a midweek review. It doesn't matter. Whatever the result, we'll do a midweek review. It'll be available on the Patreon, patreon.com/cobblers2me. We have had a new sign up in the last week, which I would like to very quickly say thank you to. I'm just going to confirm who it was, because
it wasn't
I've
Liz
got a name
Duncan
in my head and it might be wrong. It was the right one, thankfully. Steve Scott, welcome to the Patreon. Thank you so much for joining us. patreon.com/cobblers2me. You can sign up for as little as £5 a month to support the podcast, and you get extra podcast episodes. You get access to our Slack channel, which is our community, which is brilliant and is already buzzing for Tuesday night. I cannot wait. It is going to be a fantastic game. Anyway, that's the postbag done. Thank you so much, for all of those. That was brilliant. A quick note before we go, NTFC Women were meant to play Sheffield FC again. the 945th attempt, and it got called
the cursed
off
game
again. Ridiculous. Absolutely, I mean,
come
ridiculous.
On, just find a different pitch, surely. Come
yeah,
on.
Find a 3G pitch somewhere. Come on. Anyway,
third time that was.
Play
that. Yeah.
They'll play it in like 2059 or something. It'll be backdated.
Don't forget next Sunday as well. NTFC Women at Sixfields against Sporting Calza, who are third. So Mother's Day treat in celebrating International Women's Day as well from 2 o'clock. Get on down there. That'll be a great occasion as well.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, guys. It's been brilliant. Cannot wait for Tuesday night. The Nen Derby is back. We are going to London Road and we are going to give it everything. Get into them, Cobblers. Come on.
If Tyrese Simpson scores the winner, you might not see me for about 3 weeks.
We'll be back in your free feed on Friday with the preview show as we look ahead to the game with Cambridge. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
Sports Social Podcast Network.